From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. All right, we have a really fun show because I have been out, as you guys might have noticed. We've been doing some best ofs. We have so much stuff that I have been doing on some of the other shows. I've been co-hosting with Sherry in the afternoons. I've been co-hosting with Spike from noon to three. It's been very, very busy. But we've done all this really great stuff. We've had all these great stories. And I thought it would be fun if tonight we could look back on some of those conversations I've been having with Sherry, with Jack, with just everyone around the station here, and play some of those for you here tonight. So without further ado, let's get into it. Enjoy.
This is a story that's dear to my heart. I am a beer drinker. I do love beer. And I have to admit, though, I haven't tried Rainier beer.
It's a very local beer. It's not surprising to me that you haven't tried it.
Yeah. And because of, I guess, some plant problems around the country or whatever, there's a shortage and people are not happy about it.
People are not happy. In fact, King 5, we have a short package of on this if we'd like to play it here really quick. Here it is.
Inside the Water Wheel, a dive bar in Seattle's Ballard neighborhood.
We were able to warn our guests that it was something was going to happen.
A Pacific Northwest favorite.
Everybody loves Rainier. It's like the first beer you ever had.
Is now missing from the taps.
We're not able to have it on tap right now, which I feel is a little upsetting for our regulars.
About 3 weeks ago, Natalie Wentworth, the manager of Water Wheel, says they stopped receiving their Rainier on draft.
It's a production issue as far as being able to produce or brew the beer.
There is an ongoing strike at Molson Coors in Texas. Workers are fighting for better pay and benefits. Rainier, now owned by Pabst, which uses big breweries like Molson Coors to produce beer for smaller breweries. All of this coupled with supply chain issues could be to blame. And for the regulars who come to the Water Wheel, Rainier is their go-to.
It's iconic. It tastes great. It feels old school. So in a place like this, it feels really fitting.
And while they have no shortage of cans,
it's not the end of the world, but it's also not a Rainier on draft.
They're eager to pour Rainier beer again soon.
It's Rainier. It's going to come back. It's a staple. I'm not too scared.
She's trying to obviously calm. There's a lot of people upset about this, though, like really hardcore Rainier fans.
Sure. I love draft beer. I think if I go to a bar, I get whatever is on draft because it's better than the bottle. But what is the significance of this to you, Jake?
The significance to me, if I'm being completely honest, is that I'm aware that it is a beer here locally and that people drink it. I don't think of this as
John, you owe me a beer.
it's a fine beer. It's a very easy drinking beer. It's got a nice kick at the end. Jacob, do you drink a lot of Rainier beer?
I think what's interesting to me is it replaces whatever the cheapest beer in the rest of the country seems to be. So if you're someone who would drink a PBR or a Bud Light, you're going to drink a Rainier if you're in a Seattle bar.
Yeah.
I'd say like 80% of the time. And that seems to be reflected in the Seattle Times did a big report on this. And there's a surprising number of people that are very loyal to Rainier and are suggesting they're not going to come back to their local dive bar until they have it back on tap, which
until
I think is very impressive. But to your point, Jake, yes, it's not a complicated beer. It's not doing a lot of interesting stuff, but people have
like,
drank
like
it
what,
for
getting
years.
Getting his graduate degree?
That would be
what
interesting.
What interesting stuff could a beer do?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wow, he's learning to skate.
He's not
tricks.
Wrong. It's not a super interesting beer.
What I think is the layer of weirdness to me is that it's not locally owned anymore. You're paying for a brand because it's not produced here.
Yeah.
The company is owned elsewhere.
Yeah, the reason they're not getting it, you heard that in the piece, but the reason they're not getting it is there's a strike in Texas where they make Rainier beer, and so they're not able to get it anymore.
But isn't it made by Pabst now?
I think so. I think that's what they said in the piece.
They have, let's see here. It's made by Pabst. It's owned by Pabst, and they use breweries like Molson Coors to produce the beer for smaller breweries. Then they just ship it here. People obviously are very passionate. One of the reasons that people are so passionate is when you drive south on I-5,
right?
There's still the big giant Rainier beer at the original brewery in Seattle, which then became Atali's, which is now, I don't know what it is now.
It's like, that's true. I think they might even be going through kind of the inside might be different than it was. Also, there's like storage units, like things.
Yeah, there's like a
storage
really,
company,
really yeah. bright storage unit there. That
but
looks
they
really
still
fun.
Have the antique R, and
but
so
they, yeah, yeah, they've saved this iconic R, which is the Rainier Beer mm-hmm. sign, and so you drive by that all the time, and probably you don't give it a second thought yeah. until you're at one of these dive bars and you're looking
and then
for
like, oh,
you
I know that R. The R.
Yeah, a very yeah. low priced. You know, it is what it is. That's it's a local beer here.
And I think the misconception about beer drinkers is that beer is beer is beer. You know, we are always letting wine drinkers talk about, you know, these little esoteric things about wine. But everybody that drinks beer usually has either a style of beer or a beer that they go to. And if this is somebody's favorite, I get it. I would be upset too.
Because I'm surprised.
They're not irreplaceable.
I mean,
they're not interchangeable.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm surprised that I was pleasantly surprised to hear that you're a beer drinker. What do you drink? Like, what's your, it's obviously not Rainier. I get that. But what do you drink?
Well, I kind of go in stages. So, for a while it was Stella, cause I named my dog Stella yeah. after Stella. And, yum. It was, I really like Stella. And then I did a little bit of like Moretti and a few of the, you know, different kinds of Italian beers. Got tired of those. Then went to Sam Adams. And I really like Sam Adams now. It upsets my stomach.
Sam Adams is a fine beer. That's
it is a good beer.
Don't they do an Oktoberfest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my favorite beer of all time, though, is Boddington's.
Boddington's. I don't think I know yeah. Boddington's.
Oh, it's a great beer. It tastes like velvet.
Oh,
it's
I love
really
the taste
good.
Of velvet.
It's really good.
That sounds delicious.
It comes in a big tall can. I believe it's British, but I'm not sure. I love all the German beers. I even went to Oktoberfest in Germany. And
oh, cool.
But right now, I'm settling for Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada is a very nice. So are you an IPA fan? Is that something you drink a lot of?
Not particularly. No, I'm more Pilsner. You know, just something that's a little bit lighter than an IPA.
My wife loves IPAs. She's somebody like you were just talking about who she would really, you know, she doesn't drink a lot of them, but she really enjoys, especially not right now because she's pregnant. She really enjoys the taste of the, because there are so many, especially in the mm-hmm. IPA world, there are so many different IPAs out there right now that are, you know, taste great. I am a really boring beer drinker, so like I'm not meaning to offend you, but I enjoy Stella a great deal because it's a very simple beer. I just like the taste of it. You can drink a lot of them, and they, you know, it's fun.
It's not doing anything exciting. Is it?
It's not doing it's not graduating, getting a degree, and it's not doing any magic tricks.
Doing its roller skate, yeah.
But right. I like Stella a great deal, but I do get bored of it from time to time. So I'm gonna...
That's what happened to me. I was just like, I'm tired of this. And then I got this past weekend I did Japanese beers, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're just going around the
favorites.
World.
Yeah.
It's my world tour.
You say Sapporo?
Sapporo, yeah, I like that. We have sushi or something like that. But yeah, so I get it. I understand why people would be upset when you, especially if you go to the same place and that's your place and that's your routine to get that beer. I'd be upset. I understand.
I'm not trying to offend any beer drinkers out there, but I will say that I don't think it's probably going to offend some, but I'm okay with that. I don't think replacing Rainier is a super tall order, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. It's just not, I mean, it's like, would you agree, Jacob?
Saying,
it's not a super flavorful. It's like, there's nothing about it you would say like, oh my gosh, you just cannot get this taste anywhere else.
If you're curious what it tastes like, Sherry, we have someone in the text line letting us know that it tastes like how Nelly Furtado sounds, actually.
Yes. Everybody
okay,
can enjoy
it.
It's not
right.
super complicated.
But no, I completely agree. But it's all the small breweries that are becoming more and more well known in the area, I don't think they want to do a beer like that. Do you know what I mean? Like they're doing something that they do think is more interesting more fun.
Yeah. Have you guys had those Bodhisattva? Have you had those beers?
Very popular, yes. Yeah.
Super good. Really tasty.
Really?
I like those a lot. Andrew, you're saying yes?
No, my dad drinks those like every night.
Oh, does he?
He loves that
stuff.
Well,
he's got a good taste in beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're delicious. I highly recommend them.
This reminds me of when I lived in Baltimore. Natty Bow was it was the cheapest. Mm-hmm. It tasted like cold water. I mean, it really, there was nothing to this beer. And yet I don't remember where I was visiting. I was in a totally different state and they had Natty Bow there as kind of like a kitschy, little, you know, cheap beer that comes from another place. And I was like, ugh, that's the, It's not.
And you did not like it.
No,
even though it tasted like home, you didn't buy it just because it tasted like home.
No, I didn't drink it when I was home. No, oh, okay. I thought that story was going somewhere nice. I'm a bit of a beer snob. Let me ask you about this because I want your opinion. I want your wife's opinion on this one, Jake.
I can speak for her. Okay.
Okay, good. Because
you want me to call her? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think we need to call her because I don't want to bother her. But I would like you to tell us about what happened this morning when you heard the news that just floored everybody. Can you believe that Meghan Markle is selling something?
What?
I know. I mean, as private as she is,
yeah,
as much as she hates the spotlight,
hates
as
the
much
limelight,
as she shuns publicity, she's come out with a jam. It's called the American Riviera Orchard.
Ah, perfect name.
And it's, yes, Strawberry Jam. She really likes that name because she's so not pretentious.
No, not at all.
That it would be a really good thing. Yes, and she says the name is authentic to her. That really, you know, when I hear authentic, which is sort of like American or something down to earth, when I hear authentic, I think American Riviera Orchard.
They should make that the commercial.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So you read this breaking news this morning.
I did.
You were pivot. You know, you just couldn't believe what to do, and you went to your dear wife and said,
"Well, I was sitting there just this morning, and I was just like you know, looking around, trying to figure out stuff that we might find ourselves talking about today, and I see this story, and I don't know what it is about Meghan Markle and Harry. What is his last? Is it Sussex? What is his last name? I know him as Prince Harry, but he's got a last name, right?
We just call him Prince Harry.
Yeah, I've only ever referred to him as such. Yeah.
But he's a Sussex. Isn't that what they say? He's a Sussex? Prince Harry Sussex?
I don't know. What are the kids' last names?
So, sorry, I typed in Prince Harry's full name. Henry Charles Albert David. It doesn't actually give a last name.
He doesn't have a last name.
First names.
Henry Charles
Albert David. I'll keep looking.
But what's on his driver's license, right? Does he have a drive?
He probably has a diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, has he ever driven?
I don't think he has to drive. Yeah, I think he's got drivers. So I don't know what it is about Prince Harry, Albert, Frank David, and Meghan Markle, but there's just something about the two of them. I don't root for them to have great success. I'm not rooting against them. I'm not somebody who's like wishing, you know, that they don't find success in life. But I do feel like every time I see them, they're kind of like hawking something new. Like it was the Netflix deal, like right where they leave the royal family and everybody just kind of goes, oh, groan. All right, fine, whatever. They leave the royal family and then they sign up a very lucrative deal with Netflix. I heard it was like $100 million or something, like very good money. Then they sign up to do a podcast. And so like the Netflix thing doesn't bear much fruit. And then the podcast thing doesn't bear much fruit. And I think they even had like leave Spotify. Or I think they had a $20 million deal. So just like money is just being thrown upon them because of fame. And, who you know, Prince Harry's family essentially is the reason why. I suppose there's some interest in Meghan Markle's connection to Suits, which is a very popular show now on Netflix, probably because of her connection to Prince Harry. But then I see that they're coming out with, now I see that they're making jam in Montecito. And there was something about it. So I showed my wife the story and I could hear her eyes rolling. She just went, ugh. Like, there's just something about them that you just kind of go, what else are they going to be trying to sell us? And that was my generic reaction today.
And I think most people feel that way. They're sort of insidious. They're just, they're there, they're not there, then they're there again. And this is going to continue on, not just the jam. She has applied for, I guess, a trademark or patent or whatever it's going to be for tableware, textiles, jams and marmalades. And this is leading for her to have a cooking show.
Oh, nice.
Now, it was my prediction. I guess she's going to learn.
I guess she's going to learn.
This was my prediction a long time ago. One of them will be on Dancing with the Stars within a year.
Prince Harry. It's got to be.
I think people would watch with Prince Harry. I'd watch Prince Harry. I think he's kind of cool. But this is the problem. You know, they went about this backwards. If they wanted to exit out of the royal family, they should have done that with dignity, not been so vicious about the things that they said, writing that book, doing all that, then start to present some of these products that they want to sell or whatever it is, a podcast, and let that information
sure.
just if you're going to let it go a little bit later. But it was like a sucker punch. You know, they get to this country.
No,
and
it
all
was
of
a full on like. Throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
Right.
And I think people just are maybe they just got a little overexposed. I mean, we were talking about, you know, they were in the news every single quite a bit. But yeah, they were in the news every single day. Again, you mentioned his book there, Spare. He made a ton of money on that book. I think he made like over $20 million on that book. But the interest is in the gossipy stuff of the royal family. That's what people really care about. So I do you think this lifestyle brand is going to be successful?
I mean, it may be. I don't know. I guess, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow can do it. And there are stars that have all kinds of products out there. I don't know. I wouldn't gauge it on my opinion or your wife's opinion because we're not fans. But I guess she does have a fan base out there. And
sure.
There are people that will that think she has high style and maybe the products are really good. But it just seems to me that they need to back off. I mean, and this is the problem people have with them. All they whined about was being, you know, exposed to this. And he was afraid that she might be end up being the next Princess Diana and all of the
publicity.
Yeah,
they just wanted privacy. Why won't the world leave them alone?
Yeah, the paparazzi, all of that stuff. And then they're full on, you know, Oprah, all of that stuff. So I think the hypocrisy speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out if they're successful. I guess if we're all someday, if you go into your refrigerator and you pull out a jar of jam and it is an American Riviera Orchard jam, although the ones that they showed, the picture they showed of them sending out this jam, they only made like 50 of them. So I don't know how
I know. That's such a gimmick. What they do is they number it like it's a work of art or something. One of 65.
Here's what
two
I would.
Two of 65.
Yeah, here's what I would do. If Prince Harry, I would respect this. If Prince Harry and Meghan Markle show up at a farmer's market selling these little jams that they make in Montecito, then would I buy one? Yeah, I think I would. I'd give it a try.
Okay, how about this? Donate the money. Donate the money.
Great.
I'd buy it if you were donating it to animals or children or whatever it was. I'd buy it.
Okay.
But no, well, how much more do you guys need?
That's a great question. Yeah, apparently a lot more because they're still trying things. But
which
you got
to
do something with your time.
Yeah, I know, but it's just yuck. I hope you can feel my eyes rolling. Like
I can.
Your wife, okay.
Welcome back to Kyra Nights. All right, tonight we're doing something a little bit different. I've been filling in on some of the other shows, so we're going to actually be looking back at some of those other shows. I've been filling in with Sherry on the John Curry and Sherry Ehrlicher show. I've been filling in with Spike on the Jack and Spike show from noon to 3. So we're going to take some of those segments and we're going to replay them. Some of our favorite segments from these different shows. We're going to replay them for you here tonight. So without further ado, enjoy.
Hey, we're getting a lot of people writing in about the beer stuff. This guy says, Hanson Brothers have a beer out. Hops.
That's great marketing. That's smart.
I like it. And you can get in on the act and all the fun. All you have to do is contact us at the Muckle Shoot Resort text line. That's 1-888-973-5476 or go to mynorthwest.com. Jake Skorheim in the house for John today. He'll be back tomorrow. I thought this article was very important, and I think everybody has been in this situation. It's about how to get out of a conversation that is boring you to tears.
Ah, yes.
We've all been there.
Yes.
Where I live, there are a lot of people that work at the Pentagon. And while they are brilliant people and very good at what they do, I don't have a whole lot in common with them.
Okay.
So I find myself...
Sherry, I'll be right back. No, just kidding. Yeah.
I find myself, when we go to the happy hours or whatever, not quite knowing...
I forget about that part of your life. That's so interesting. You are literally living at the, like, in the what do they call that? The halls of power? I mean, you're living right near where our country is run.
Mm-hmm.
You're surrounded by these people. These these are the movers and the shakers that you go down. Now you probably pop on down to K Street and you have a beer with.
And she finds them all boring.
So and you find them all so boring. You're just getting out of these conversations.
It's not that it's boring. It's out of my league a little bit, and so it ends up I lose interest because I don't know what they're talking about half the time, and they probably don't understand me. So they've given a couple of tips here. They say most people want to stop talking after about 10 minutes. That's about the extent. If you're making small talk at a party, you go 10 minutes, you're done.
10 minutes sounds like a long time, actually.
That sounds like a long time.
That's way too long. It should be half that. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. They say the conversation is like you're driving down the freeway, and only at a certain point are you allowed to exit. You can't just go into the median and go over the hill and do whatever. So
There's social things that you need to follow. You shouldn't just uncomfortably walk away and you don't want to be mean. Part of the article talks about you got to be kind. You should still be a nice human being.
This guy suggests this. I think this is a little bit abrupt. He says when he's in the middle of something and they've talked it out, he says, "We've just exhausted my interest in this topic. What else have you got?"
That's very abrupt. I would never say that.
I think it's very dismissive, too, especially if the person you're talking to brought up the topic.
You know, you were just saying a second ago that you're surrounded by all these government types and you find them very boring. And you are correct about that. I think people who are in government who are constantly talking about government and all these different things, that could be very tedious at a party. So what have you developed over the years to try to figure out how to get out of these conversations or change it to something more interesting for you?
Well, one of the things that I've been accused of is asking too many questions. What I do is I'll say, tell me about that. Or that is so interesting. I read this thing the other day. Do you think that's true? I go into interview mode.
Yes.
And a couple of people came over one night because they had us over for dinner and we brought them, we invited them to our house. And they're probably 75 to 80 years old. Okay. So they're retirees.
Sure.
They travel and they were talking about their travels, but otherwise they don't have a whole lot to talk about. So I was asking a lot of questions about what their favorite place was, why they liked it there, what the climate is. And the woman looked at me and she said, "I can tell you interview people for a living."
was it a compliment?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
It was cutting. She felt she was on the hot seat.
And one person said one time, "Is that what this is going to be? Just you asking me a bunch of questions?"
Oh my
tonight?
Gosh!
I know. So I'm cautious about contributing versus just asking questions.
Would they rather just sit in silence? I mean, these are the options if they're not going to just ask you a reciprocal question. I don't know why they're so upset.
Yeah, why don't they turn it on you? Flip it back around.
Right. So here's a couple of other things you can do. They say that it's like rats escaping. That's how you have to feel about it. So rats will go around and around and around. But if you put a hot thing under them, they're going to scatter.
Yeah, rats are good at that.
And it takes a lot of mental effort to keep the conversation going if you're bored. So you can say things like, "I'm going to go get another drink. Would you like one?"
That's a good one.
Yep.
Bathroom is another going "Oh my gosh, you know where the bathroom is?" Just cut them off. "You know where the bathroom is?" Or I just wet myself.
That'll get them away.
Sometimes I do find myself drinking more so that I have more excuses to go to the bathroom.
You know, it's a good idea. I actually thought about this when we were reading the story. You could carry, I don't know if this would work. This seems a little gimmicky, but you could carry two drinks and you could say "I got to go give this drink to so-and-so." Like if the conversation gets boring, you could be like, and then just start.
You're going to walk around all night with two drinks?
Well, the downside is you have two drinks. That's not a bad deal. But the upside is it's a quick way out of a conversation.
Okay, so either your arms get tired or you look like a lush.
What am I, carrying a giant stein? This is a tiny little, we're at a cocktail party, Sherry.
Bigger Sherry's drinks than she's drinking.
How tiny are her arms?
She drinks out of a 5-gallon bucket at these parties.
I have heard she has big hands. That could be.
Which is a terrible untruth about me.
You know what the thing, I didn't suspect you had big hands. But the thing about this that I identified with, when you were just saying, Sherry, that you ask questions, I think the reason you and I get along so well, I do the same thing. I'm uncomfortable at parties. I don't like being there. I'm not in my natural environment when I'm just like out there chit chatting with a bunch of strangers. If it's people I know, that's great. I love it. But if it's just a bunch of people and then I got to find out what they do for their work and where they get all these things, like all those social things that kind of give us all a little bit of stress. And so what I started doing, just like you, I will come up in my head. I won't write it down because I'm not a weirdo, but like I will come up with just 5 or 6 things that I can ask. I did this when I started dating my wife. I would come up before we went to dinner, before we would go out. I didn't want the conversation to lag because I didn't want her to think I was a loser. So I would come up with like conversation things that I would say, oh, this interesting thing. And, you know, it ended up working out. We got 4 babies. So it clearly is an effective method. And so I think, yeah, just like come with questions and then as quickly as you can, just get out. Like that Costanza. You remember in Seinfeld when Costanza makes somebody laugh? It's like he instantly, oh, that's it.
That was one of the other techniques, is try to get something, end on a laugh, you know, go on a high note and see ya. Ha,
yes.
Ha. You know, it's like you would do if you were doing a comedy act.
Or a radio, a radio show.
A radio show.
All right, here's the end of the segment, Sherry. Where's the laugh?
The other one they said is have a code word.
What do you mean, like a code word?
Well, your significant other is, you know, standing close by and you go, hey, Trevor, bingo. Or something
that's
like that.
That's weird.
Bingo would be startling. I don't know if that's a good one.
Oh, well, that's our
Chattanooga. Chattanooga. Yeah. You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a lot of ways you can do it, but I think you have to be very polite. And most people love to talk about themselves. That's the rule that I always use.
That's true.
That they don't really get a lot of people engaged with them. You know, everybody sort of takes each other for granted after a while. So to have someone legitimately curious, and I am very curious about things that people do and all of that. So I think that's still a compliment, but apparently
find a couple, go find a couple, ask them how they met and then put it on them. Now they have to now they're telling you their story. They're like their love story. And you've done a nice thing for them. They're feeling good about it. Okay. And then excuse yourself and go to the bathroom so you don't have to listen to their boring story.
Well, I drank both those drinks.
Yeah.
I got to find my wife.
All right. Well, there's a little news that you can use.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, tonight we're doing something a little bit different. I've been filling in on some of the other shows. So we're going to actually be looking back at some of those other shows. I've been filling in with Sherry on the John Curry and Sherry Ehrlicher show. I've been filling in with Spike on the Jack and Spike show from noon to 3. So we're going to take some of those segments and we're going to replay them. Some of our favorite segments from these different shows, we're going to replay them for you here tonight. So without further ado, enjoy.
Yeah, are you working tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of great stuff. People should tune in.
Oh, that's a tease.
Yeah, great stuff's a good tease. I like it.
that means the show is not fully put together yet. And it's going to be a lot of great stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
You always have great stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Could you please stop messing with the mailman? I really don't like it.
The mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Where'd you guys get that song, by the way?
It predates me, so I'm not entirely sure.
I think John commissioned it, maybe.
This one he just found on YouTube.
This was somebody else.
They've met a couple times because he's just a mailman in the Midwest somewhere.
He's a real mailman.
He's a real mailman.
You kidding?
I think he might be retired now, but yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, he's also got a talent for singing. I mean, it's pretty good. It's no Nelly Furtado, but I like
no loofah,
it.
Yeah. But it's good. It works for what we're doing. All right, Jake, there's a couple of comments about you filling in.
Area code 307 says, these two are fantastic together. Jake and Sherry make a great show that's very on brand for Cairo. Oh, that's nice, 307. Thank you.
Very nice. Bruce in the 206 says, Sherry, you're a great hostess and run a great show. Thank you, Bruce.
Area code 253 says, the show of two Jakes. Yes.
That's right.
There's two Jakes
here. It rarely happens. So, you know, you really have come upon something
astrological.
Quite unique.
Yeah. Unlikely.
Rainier Beer, Erico 206 says, Rainier Beer had the greatest commercials in the 70s and 80s.
I think it might be referencing that Rainier Beer, which is like a motorcycle. Oh, he's got it.
Rainier.
Budweiser get their Budweiser Frogs from the Rainier Beer Frogs? Or it sounds like, you remember the
Budweiser? Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. So, Sons of the Beatles, U2 talking music needs to be a regular segment. Yeah, that was fun. We know a lot about music.
Yeah, right, exactly. We can do the segment. We'll start like this. What's her name? You know, that woman that does the thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, she was on that show, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's how.
Back in the 90s.
Area code 360 says James McCartney and Sean Lennon. New song sounds like the Traveling Huckleberries with Pete Best.
I think that was someone just trying to be more, even more obscure.
Okay. And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Okay, Jake.
All right, this is from Hugh in Raymond. He says Andrew would have liked that song if it had some fart sounds in it.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, there it is.
We don't have time to hear it with that.
Shoot.
That's all she wrote.
That would have been a real classy way to end the segment.
Well, hey, what? I guess, whatever. You can, if you can stay around for... Okay. If you can stick around for one more hour,
yeah,
maybe we can talk him into that. How's that?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
And thank you to Nate Conners. Oh, thank you, Andrew.